This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
We are here on the Escape Hour. This is the Food and Travel Show. Today we're going to be going to the southern
deep
part
south.
Of the USA, isn't that great?
Deep South USA, absolutely.
And so we're going to be going to places like New Orleans and Mississippi.
Savannah, and, Georgia.
Yes, and Tennessee. And where else would be a fun place to go to? St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah, so there's
Kansas City.
Oh, yes, yes. Dorothy and her red shoes. We can click those three times and you never know where you'd end up, would you? So that's where we're off to today. We're off to the deep south, so do stay tuned. We better get on to travel news.
Travel news.
What have you got for me today Virgin?
Last week we were absolutely outraged with Qantas removing the axing the music, you know, and Virgin Australia has responded to that and they said that they will not do the same thing. And if you want to fly an airline that supports local music and musician and plays music, you have to fly with Virgin Australia,
which is a very great idea. I don't know why Qantas are axing music. I mean, as I said last week, I do love a bit of Australiana when I'm flying through the sky. And, you know, there's nothing better than sitting back and listening to Ice House's Great Southern Land as you're flying into America or coming home again, or that iconic one that makes everybody cry. I still call Australia home. Doesn't that get the tears rolling? Well, that's a bit of good news.
How about
those mobile phones on planes? I had no idea about this. You're onto it.
So we were delayed. Last time I went to Thailand, we were delayed by some person that did that. So they dropped their mobile phone in the seat or in one of the cracks of the seat and started moving their phone when the flight attendant ran and said, "Don't do that, it might catch fire." And I think it happened.
It did
this
on a flight from LA to Melbourne this week. Some chap dropped his phone in between his seats and then he pressed every button.
As you would.
In the business class seat, and the thing was going up and down and squishing and squashing his phone. And he managed to destroy his phone and it caught on fire.
And there was
a big fire. So they managed to put the fire out and they kept flying, which was very professional. The crew did what they had to do very quickly. But I didn't know that you could not, if you dropped your phone, you had to stop what you were doing.
Yeah, to do. And I know most people don't listen to in-flight safety demonstration, but it is now actually part of the safety demonstration. In this video is on Qantas.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that.
Keep an eye out. Report next time because you're off very soon, so you should report to us next time.
Now, what happened to our friends at Air New Guinea? They just lost their plot, didn't
they? I think one of their 737 overshot the runway in Micronesia. Ooh. Nobody was injured. Well, there was some injuries, but no death. So, which is a good fan. I don't know if you've seen the footage on TV, but
it's amazing, they
were rescued by this small little boat.
I know, and they were just piling all these people into these tiny boats in this small island in New Guinea, and it looked fabulous, didn't it? I bet they were a bit surprised with that landing.
I was going to say, it's probably not the way you want your flight to end, but... I suppose it could have been much worse than, yes.
Speaking of footage, I saw a fantastic bit of footage this week of a guy taking a customer for a joyride in an ultralight plane. And so they're in the air, they're doing all of this sightseeing all over the place, and the next minute crawling along the wing was a cat.
Oh.
And the cat grabbed onto the side of the plane, and you should see the look on this guy's face when he looks up and notices this cat. And so fortunately, he says to the lady, we're going to end the joy flight. Because if you look just above your head there, you're going to see a little cat, and we do want to try to get it down safely. But, God, it's a funny bit of footage.
That would have made a weird in-flight announcement.
Well, weird in-flight service, I tell you very much.
Did the cat survive?
The cat survived, and so did the two people on board, so that's good news. Now, you said to me the there are some hugely, vastly growing European cities that people need to trot off to.
And cities that or places you wouldn't think of. Armenia is the... as really big growth in Europe in terms of tourism, mostly Eastern European countries, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Moldova, Republic of Moldova, Azerbaijan. Wow. Some of them we talked on the show, Georgia.
Oh, yes.
I think we had somebody talking to us about Georgia and was absolutely fascinated with Georgia, Israel. So we've covered a few. Turkey as well is really
so these are kind
increase.
Of off the beaten path places where Aussies tend to have previously gone to the west. They're all heading to the east now.
People are going to the east, absolutely. And I think if you want to hear some about some of these countries, you can download our podcasts because
we've got them on there.
We've got some of them. We've got Georgia, we've got Israel, we've got Turkey, I think, Iceland. So we've got a few, and that gives a lot of listeners and us some tips of what to do.
Now, before we go to break, I have got ways to save. You know how you're always hearing, you know, you're checking your Facebook or your Pinterest, and, you know, you're always hearing from friends how they're going overseas, and you think, God, how do they do it?
Yeah, so how do they do it?
Well, there are ways to save to go on these fantastic holidays, okay? And here's a few tips. So before you go away, you've got to cancel all your subscriptions. So, for example, you might cancel your gym subscription, your Foxtel, all of those things that can cost money over the month, so you can save money by doing that. Another good thing to do while you're away is rent out your room or rent out your house. So while you've got people, while you're overseas, you can put someone into your home and you can earn some good money doing that. Other thing is to buy the early bird airfares because they're always super cheap discounts.
And they're on at the moment, aren't they?
Yes, they're on at the moment. They are on right now. Get a handle on international money exchanges. Do you? Are you good with that?
Not really. I conveniently use my card out of an ATM.
Yeah.
Which is not the best thing to do, I know.
It's not. But, you know, it happens. When you're away, you should do a lot of bartering. So places like Egypt and Thailand, I know
it's difficult.
If you're not a bartering person, it can be difficult.
I found it really difficult. Yeah.
And the last thing is do all the free things in cities.
Oh, yeah.
So when you get there, like all cities around the world now have free walking tours, which are put on by the city or a company in the city, so you can do a free walking tour. There's always free events. Like as soon as Melbourne hits springtime and summer, there are free things that you can go to in our fantastic city. And there's also free museums, free public galleries, all of that sort of stuff. So if you want to save some money, do that.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on The Escape Hour with Russ and Stefan. And today our guest is Lance Rosen from Big Boy Barbecue. And Lance has a very good history of road trips. And I think you've written a road trip cookbook called Temples of Barbecue. And you're here today, and I think that your cookbook won awards and was one of the first cookbooks on road trip and on barbecues and temples of barbecue. And you're here today to talk to us about a road trip through deep South America.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming.
Now, Lance, before we go, you do have a travel tip for us.
So
you mentioned during the break that there are ways that you can save money while you're away.
Yeah, I like the Citibank debit card, no international transfer fees. So you put in your local currency and then you can draw currency when you're in your country that you're travelling in. So you don't pay that fee. We draw, you know, a few hundred dollars at a time, so we're not continually drawing money, but that's a good way to save on the fees and the transfer fees.
I think that's already always interesting. We get so many inquiries from people who get it's a bit of a very confusing out in the marketplace with regards to what travel cards to take, what credit cards to take, who's going to save me money, who's not going to save me money, who's a Qantas free complier, who's a Virgin free complier. And it is majorly confusing. But if you can get someone neutral like Citibank that just says, well, you know, travel, you get our card and we're not going to charge you transaction fees. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a debit card as well. So you got your cash in there. So you know what, you're not going to overspend as well.
Yep.
And the other one is, Vodafone. You have that $5 roaming thing per day, so you can use your data and everything else for just the extra $5. So.
Yeah. They used to have that free in New Zealand, but I think they stopped that as well. They did free roaming for New Zealand, but they've stopped that.
That would be nice if it was free.
It used to be. It used to be. But if you want them, some of this trip are on very good website like the Australian Frequent Flyer. They've got loads of those good trips on how to, for the money and for flights and how to upgrade your flights, how to make the most out of your points.
Very interesting. So, Lance, you're just back from an amazing road trip to the south of the USA. Who did you fly over with?
We flew with Qantas because that's where our points are, so it helps us to fly that way.
Everyone's got a partnership with somebody, and it is all about the points these days, so you can get those free trips. And so which city did you fly into?
So we flew Melbourne, Dallas, Kansas City. Which is in the Midwest, and then we got a car there and then drove the rest of the trip all the way through. So,
and how many Ks?
About 7,000 Ks, 4,000 miles, something like that.
That's Perth and back.
And then some.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy. It was a wonderful trip.
You love your driving.
Not so much. I love stopping along the way.
What sort of car did they have? Did you have a fancy smancy?
No, we went for the soccer mum mobile because it could take all the luggage.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, you do need that when you're travelling and you're away for such a long time. How long were you away for on this trip?
About 3 weeks.
Right.
So a long time.
And, of course, this was a reconnaissance trip. You needed to know all about food and everything to do with
always.
Southern states of the USA, which is your passion, your hobby.
Yeah, always. But, I mean, the beautiful thing for us is majority of the places we went on this trip, we'd never been to before. So that was like really, I love going to new places. I have a love affair with small town America. Mm. I just love traveling through there, and the South is just wonderful. The Southern grace and the Southern charm is quite something, you know, and some of those beautiful new cities that are really starting to have a resurgence, like Nashville. We all know New Orleans, but Savannah, Georgia is probably one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been to in my life.
I'd love to go there. I've heard nothing but good things about Savannah, and it is coastal.
Yes,
and an absolutely stunning city to visit. I'm not hearing your southern drawl today.
My southern drawl. It's not Mississippi. It's Mississippi.
And New Orleans.
And the thing about Savannah, I mean, we got doggies, so we're dog people, and it's a dog town. You know, everywhere you go, there are people with doggies walking around. Everything's casual, and you know, it was clean as everybody picks up after the dogs, and you know, when the dogs are allowed everywhere. And even in the hotels, you know, it can't be that bad.
You're exactly right. Well, there's no dog poo in Richmond either. We have to pick up there or we get fined, majorly fined. What was the preparation for this trip to the southern part of the US? Now, but most Australians would jump on a plane, go to New York or LA or San Francisco, or Vegas, and make it easy peasy. But when you go to this part of America, it's quite unique and quite spectacular.
Yeah, look, it took me about 9 months of preparation to get this right and to plot out where we were going to go. And very lucky enough to have friends in the South that could point us in directions of little known places, which I love. But, you know, a lot of plotting out where we were going, which day, where we were eating along the way. Our trip tends to be directed by where we're going to eat and where we're going to stop. So driving from Kansas City to St. Louis, there's a small town in Columbia, which is a college town, and there was a pool hall there called Booch's, and it's just very relaxed, and they serve little burger sliders on the bar, and that was a must-stop place and one of the nicest burgers I've ever had.
So how do you find all these places the preparation, obviously, but where do you get your information from?
Well, all the usual places, you know, Instagram, Pinterest, all that stuff, but, you know, we tend to speak to a lot of people on our trips. I have an ongoing list on my phone of where to go to in different states of America, Europe, everywhere else. And every time we talk to people and they tell me about a new place, I just pop it on the list.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And my list is absolutely massive. It's huge. I mean, I could probably travel the rest of my life and not get to all the places I'd like to go to. So, and I'm continually talking to people about the South. And whenever somebody's recommending somewhere or talking about that, we kind of pop that on there. And like I said, I have a love for small town America, but also for old school kind of places.
Yeah.
You know, old school diners, old school restaurants, soul food, places where it's not been changed or fancied up, you know. One of the places we ate in Savannah, Georgia was in the United House of Prayer. They have the Masada Canteen. It's the church ladies cooking. It's deep in the hood. I think with only white people there, as our Uber driver kind of told us, you know, why are you people coming down here? And we told him where we were going, and he was like, great. I'm like, come along, join us for lunch, you know. And it's the kind of place where it's like turkey wings, oxtail, fried chicken, catfish, and then just side dishes. Mm. And they were just so happy that we'd come in there and heard about them all the way over here.
Yeah.
Masada Canteen, the United House of Prayer in Georgia. Amazing.
That's fantastic. And it's interesting that you bring up food in the South, because what most people in that entire region. They food's very important to them, and they actually call it comfort food or comfort dining because it's very traditional, basic food. Like you've got your southern style chicken, southern fried chicken. You've got your macaroni and cheese. You've got pot roast. All those different types of mud pie and pecan pie. And so for you, it was all about experiencing what this food would be like in local diners and canteens along the way. Yeah.
So we put that all under the heading of soul food. Barbecue kind of fits into soul food as comfort food. Nashville, Tennessee have a tradition of a style of restaurant called Meat and Three. So what you do is you go in there, you choose your meat and three sides. Mm. Now, it doesn't only have to be three sides. I typically order nine because, you know, you want to try it. No, yeah, I mean, the sides is beautiful. It's gorgeous. Mm. It's comforting. Mac and cheese is considered a vegetable dish in the South.
Yep.
As it should
sure
be.
Is. And it's yummy, isn't it?
Oh, my God, so good.
Had you tried any grits?
Oh, yes, the shrimp and grits. Wonderful. I mean, I had shrimp and grits it's kind of like a cornmeal porridge with the shrimp. And then in a place called Rye in Kansas City was probably one of the most upmarket ones I ever had. And then Husk in Nashville as well.
Well, there used to be a TV show called Alice on in the 70s and 80s, and there was a big blonde hair bouffant waitress on that show, and she would always say to some guy that had walked in, you know, eat my grits. And so, you know, that's about as far as I know about grits, but I always wanted to know what they tasted like. Because for me, the word grits means something really crunchy.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like a porridge. I mean, can you go wrong when you have cheesy grits? Add cheese to anything and it makes it good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a staple in the diners. You know, for breakfast you might get your hash brown potatoes, your poached eggs, your biscuits and gravy, of course, and then, you know, cheesy grits on the side.
Now, describe biscuits for our listeners, because it's very... I remember the first time I went to the States and I thought... And someone said, would you like some biscuits? And I thought, oh, God, I am so hungry and I just feel like a nice Tim Tam right now. I really, really do. But it's not, is it?
Biscuits more like a scone, but, you know, not sweet, kind of savoury, usually made with a bit of, you know, butter and lard to give it that extra rise, and it's a quick bread. So if you're in a poor area in the South, or you're in a poor area and you've got time poor and you don't have time to actually bake or make sourdough proof breads, you know, you can make biscuits, which is considered a quick bread, and have them, you know, in and out of the oven, you know, in 20 minutes. So, you know, they used to say if you saw somebody coming to visit you at the front gate, you could whip up the biscuits, put them in the oven, and by the time they came in and were sitting down, you'd have fresh biscuits
sort
out of the
like
oven.
Old granny's and jam and scones, jam and cream.
Exactly.
And it's served
right.
with gravy.
Yes, mostly. Well, I mean, it can be served with gravy. It's there are places. We went to a place in outside of Nashville called Loveless Cafe, who specialise in the biscuits. It used to be a motel, and now they got known for their biscuits, and they serve biscuits with everything, homemade jams and stuff like that. But a sausage gravy, a white sausage gravy, or with fried chicken, unbelievable.
God, how yummy. So the state of Louisiana was purchased by Napoleon many, many, many moons ago. So it's got a bit of a French background. Mm. This is a segue to Stéphane, who is French. French.
And so a nod to the left.
Do you think he would like Creole food, being
Absolutely.
A Frenchman?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think the difference between Cajun and Creole would be, you know, some. I think that's the Creole is a bit more... peasant style, but you know, you do see in New Orleans, you see a nod to France. So, for example, your po' boy sandwiches on the baguette style breads, with, you know, your fried shrimp and your meatballs and your all that kind of stuff. So, we tend to eat a lot of places off the grid and more local areas. So, Domelis po' boys in New Orleans was
now
wonderful.
Tell me before we go to break, what are po' boys?
A po' boy is a sandwich that they used to give to the poor boys. During the Depression. So these guys...
You've got that black yo talk happening there.
Yeah, I've got that po' boy. And that sounded like I came from New York there for a second.
Well, no, it was good. Better than what I would do. I mean, you know, all I can do is the y'all. How y'all doing?
How y'all doing with a po' boy in your hand.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, that's
so
not
you
a po' boy
so
in your hand.
With the po' boy sandwiches, yummy.
Well, yes, they were.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service.
Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the Featured Providers section within the iTunes Store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Our guest is Lance from Big Boy Barbecue, and he's here today to tell us all about his Thelma and Louise trip of Southern USA. So, Stefan.
So you talked to us a bit about food, and we've just heard the Dixie Chicks, a little bit of country music, and I think your road trip took you to different type of music along the way.
It was amazing because Nashville is all country, and I'm not really a huge country fan, but we went to a concert at the Grand Ole Opry, and then we walked around the Honky Tonk Highway, which is a massive road just with bars and free music everywhere you go, so you can just stop in. Also, you know, Clarksdale, Mississippi, which is the Devil's Crossroads, the home of the Delta Blues, where Robert Johnson signed his deal with the devil to learn how to play blues guitar. New Orleans for jazz. So we saw amazing things, you know. We say for New Orleans, don't go to Bourbon Street, go to Frenchman Street for jazz. Much better, more locals, and with felt better music, actually.
Is that where you were able to go from bars to bars as well with no problems, with a drink in your hand and...
So long as you're not carrying glass, you can have your drink and just take it with you as you're walking around, which is very civilized.
Yeah, it is very civilized. It's not something
New Orleans can do that to you. I can remember having a drink called the Hurricane on Bourbon Street. Now, I don't remember.
What is it made of?
I have no idea. That's the whole idea.
Once you've had one,
have you had a hurricane?
Oh, I had a hurricane as well. And those big, like, bong things.
Oh, not promoting that sort of drinking at all. We don't do that here on Joy 94.9. But I don't remember much about New Orleans past, past 9 p.m. I do recall waking up, and I was on a tour with my mum, which made it even more embarrassing. So I don't know what time I got home, but I woke up to go downstairs at this hotel that I was staying at with my mother, who was, you know, very proper and sitting down at breakfast having brekkie. And I came downstairs and my neck is covered in love bites, and I had no idea where they come from. So stay away from hurricanes.
Be one of those voodoo people.
Oh, they're into voodoo there, aren't they, Lance? Right.
And the cemeteries and the voodoo tours of the cemeteries.
So did you do any tours of cemeteries?
Yeah, so we did. We did a tour of a walking tour of the cemeteries and saw the you know, the voodoo queens and all that kind of stuff. And there's that, I don't know if you remember that old Peter Fonda movie, Easy Rider, where he's off his head in a cemetery, lying over the arms of a statue of the angel. And we went through that cemetery as well. So that was quite something.
Now,
so
did you see any voodoo thing happening, or
no, they didn't stage any? Well, the interesting thing is the voodoo dolls, we were told by our tour guide, Angel, that the voodoo dolls are not actually for inflicting harm, but what happened was that the illiterate people in the early days were given a voodoo doll of themselves and would say, go to their doctor and go, this is where it's sore. Ah. So they'd make a mark so they knew for next time. And so that's what, I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds like a good story anyway.
Now, did you find out why all of the tombstones and graves are above ground in New Orleans?
Oh, because of the water level. So you can't actually dig more than like 4 feet below the ground before, you know, the water level starts rising up.
So it is quite interesting to wander through the cemeteries in New Orleans because everything's above ground there. So, you can knock on a door and say, hello.
Exactly right.
Sounds a little bit spooky.
It does sound a bit spooky. And you, so which bars or jazz clubs did you go to in New Orleans that are just so memorable?
The Spotted Cat stood out in New Orleans. It's also, again, in Frenchman Street. You know, Federation Jazz in Bourbon Street was pretty good. I mean, there's so many good places, and this is the interesting thing, is struck me how many good musicians there were playing bar after bar after bar, playing for tips. I thought you'd never want to become a musician, would you? Because, you know, there's so many good people and they could all make it. And, you know, they're all trying, whether it was Nashville or Clarksdale, Mississippi, or even New Orleans, so many good musicians, bar after bar after bar, all playing for tips.
So if you could only go back to one, would be country, blues, or jazz. Which place would you go back to?
Oh, Clarksdale, Mississippi. The Delta Blues, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, and Mississippi is very famous for its Elvis and Oprah.
Yes.
Both come from Mississippi, which is very exciting.
Yeah, Elvis comes from Tupelo.
Does he?
Interestingly.
Did you go to Graceland?
Oh, yes, we did go to Graceland. Interesting
thing. Tell me all about that.
I'll sidetrack 1 second. Just coming out of Tupelo as well was John Lee Hooker. So you've got John Lee Hooker and Elvis coming out of this tiny little town in Mississippi. Wow. I don't know what they put in the water there, but it must be incredible.
Well, incredible singers, weren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And Graceland. Well, this is my second time to Graceland.
What did you think?
Unbelievable. I mean, it's massive. It's when you think about it in perspective of the 70s, Elvis bought Graceland when he was like 21 or something like that. It is massive. Pictures of Elvis, you know, they're driving around the grounds, riding horses all over the grounds, a shooting range, the jungle room. You know, you walk down the one aisle where there's like gold and platinum records and you think, wow, that's a lot. And you turn the corner and there's another whole wall. And you just go, that is just, crazy, unbelievable.
He was a good-looking man, wasn't he?
Very sexy young man.
Yeah, he was. Mm. I thought so too. I watched many of his movies. You know, you could just turn on the TV in the 70s and that's all that was on was another Elvis movie. It was hot. What other music in Nashville would have blown you away? And there's quite a contrast between music in Nashville to music in New Orleans.
Absolutely, completely. Look, we did do a concert at the Grand Ole Opry, which is probably one of the nicest concert halls I've ever been to. You know, when the band gets on or the bands get on, and they don't have to play so loud that you can't hear it in the music because the acoustics are that good. I mean, it was just breathtakingly good. We saw people like the Bellamy Brothers, which are old country music. And I'm, like I said, not really a country fan, but I was surprised at how many of the songs I knew the words to.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
On the Escape Hour, we'll enjoy listening to the Escape Hour with Russ and Stefan. Our guest, Lance from Big Boy Barbecue, and we've talked a little bit about food and music for your road trip all the deep south USA. So you brought in some samples for us.
Well, you know, show and tell. You've got to bring something.
Absolutely. What did you bring in?
So one of my loves, you know, we talk about soul food and that's going to be barbecue, it'll be fried chicken, but the other part of that would be pie. So I have a love of pie that is, you know, probably not healthy. And discovered a style of pie on our first road trip called chess pie, which it intrigued me, you know, the name chess pie. You know, what is that? So what they say, the old Southern Bells, is chess pie, something like that. Or it comes from the pantry chest, whatever's in the pantry at the time.
So it's not made out of chestnut.
No nuts, butter, flour, sugar, that pretty much it. We had a taste of some pie on the road trip, which was a brown sugar pie in St. Louis at Sugar Fire Smokehouse. And I came back and I thought, well, that sounds really interesting. Brown sugar pie might be a really nice one to put on special in the shop. You know, it's enough to put you into a diabetic coma.
Yes, I can attest to that.
I haven't had any.
Russ is watching yourself.
You're missing out. All the pies.
They made me swear to that. And we came along and we thought we'd try a few different styles of this brown sugar chess pie. So this is our first sampling. And as soon as we get it right, we'll pop that on specials in the stores.
Well, I think it was very right.
Okay.
So what pies have you guys had in America? Have you ever had, I've had pecan pie, I've had apple pie, pumpkin pie, I've had mud cake, I've had...
Mississippi mud cake.
Yeah. And what about you? Is there any in the one that was your particular favourite?
Well, I got back from Mississippi and thought, I never had Mississippi mud cake, and I probably should have. But, you know, we have a love of different kinds of pies, so fruit pies is a very big thing. We'll come there at the end of summer. Cherry pie, peach and blueberry, you know, and places like Loveless Cafe in Nashville specialize in pie. So we had a good sampling of everything, banana cream pie, coconut cream pie, and the chess pie.
And what time did you leave there?
Late in the day.
You were saying off air how happy everybody was to meet you, that they were typical Southern hospitality was, oh my God, we can't believe that you've come all this way to see us and rah, rah, rah. And it is like that in the South.
Well, this is the thing, small town America, you pitch up with an accent of any kind that isn't theirs. And first of all, they go, are you British? Where are you from? You know, and you tell them you're from Australia and you've come all that way. And they don't get many tourists through there. So they're very excited to see you and quite happy to share what they're doing and bringing out extra slices of pie because they can see you love it because you need another slice of pie or, you know, some fried chicken or whatever it is they're doing. You know, and they're really happy to see foreigners and tourists in small town America. And the Southern graces and the Southern charm, people are very, you know, welcoming and generous.
So LGBT in deep South America, kind of, to me, it sounded like it might be a little bit of a problem in terms of, you know, redneck or discrimination. But what's...
You know, interestingly enough, we didn't see any discrimination at all. I mean, you might sense it in some areas, but LGBT, Nashville, so very open and so very warm. Lots of gay couples walking around together, openly showing affection, which I think is wonderful. Mm. And also in New Orleans, very open and very prevalent.
Mm. Well, we like that. We'll be going there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do a road trip to America and, you know, hold hands down Bourbon Street in New Orleans?
And drink a hurricane or two.
Kansas City. So there's everyone who has watched The Wizard of Oz knows the Dorothy's from Kansas City with her ruby red shoes. What's the attraction there for the traveller?
For me, look, Kansas City is interesting because it's in two states. It's in Kansas and Missouri. You fly into Missouri. It's in the Midwest, and what happens is smack bang, if you look at a map, it's smack bang in the middle of America, and all the train lines go through Kansas City. So the thing is, in Kansas City, they had the stockyards, they had all the different kinds of cattle and sheep and vegetables going through there, so it has a proliferation of all kinds of food. And it's the Midwest, so, you know, pie, I mentioned pie before, but it's a beautiful thing. And then Kansas City barbecue was my first barbecue love. They kind of cook everything in Kansas City, and that's the style of barbecue we do at Big Boy Barbecue.
So what that style of barbecue is?
So for example, in Texas, they're known for their beef. In the Carolinas, they're known for their pork because that's what they graze and grow in the areas. But because Kansas City is on the rail lines, everything goes through there, so they cook everything. And it's very similar to me in feel to Melbourne, where we have a lot of different influences from all over, and we kind of take that all on as our own.
No, I like barbecue. It's there's nothing better than getting to the state somewhere and ordering barbecue and getting the biggest plate of meat and knowing you have arrived.
Absolutely. It lets you know you're there.
We've got a message in.
We do. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, so from 620, Ray, telling us Nashville has a large black gospel scene and good food. Birmingham, Alabama has good food. I love sweet potato pie, pecan pie, peach cobbler. Also, key lime pie is good and popular. Good fried chicken, but hate chitlins.
Okay, well, I'll second that one. Chitlins are like stomach intestines that are fried.
No,
well, that's a hard pass for me.
I think we'll continue with the message now.
But fried chicken, sweet potato pie. Birmingham, Alabama, beautiful part of the world, and known for their, Alabama's known for their white sauce, which is a white barbecue sauce, and which is local to that area.
Fantastic. What else did Ray say?
Ray's telling us that Montgomery and Mobile are both good, so is Bessemer, Alabama. Nice people, good architecture in Mobile and Montgomery. Creole foods makes black, Indian, and white, which is why it has the spice and good flavour more so than Cajun.
Cajun.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
That's really great information.
Great message for you to phone in about today. We'll certainly be passing that on, that people should head to Montgomery and Mobile by the sounds of it.
So some beautiful beaches in that part of the world. We stopped off in a place called Grayton Beach, in just past Pensacola. It's just near Mobile, Alabama, and probably one of the nicest beaches I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Squeaky white sand, clean as, just very sparse, you know, that coastline on the Gulf of Mexico, beautiful warm water, and somewhere I'd like to get back to really quickly.
Mm. Now, Dole, how did you go driving on the other side of the road?
You know, I've got one rule. The driver's in the middle of the road, and that's all you got to remember. I've travelled to the US quite a lot, so I do just get in the car and drive. I'm okay. The only thing you got to remember is driver is in the middle of the road. That's all. And if the driver's on the pavement side, you're on the wrong side of the road.
My rule's always been that I don't enter traffic until I see which side of the road the cars are on. I've done it a few times where I've turned the wrong way and I've just been coming head on to a whole other car. So I just sit in the driveway
another car followed the guy in front of me.
And don't you love turning your blinkers on and the next minute you've got your windscreen wipers going every 2 minutes?
That happens a lot.
Always. And I mean, the interesting thing in a lot of places in the US is if you're in the right-hand lane and you're turning right and you've got a red traffic light, you don't actually have to wait for it to turn green if you can yield to the right. as soon as there's a gap, you can drive
them. And you know what? I reckon that's a damn great law.
Absolutely.
you can do that in Northern Territory, not to the right, but to the left.
You can do it in the Northern Territory. Yeah,
in the words of Monty Python, I hate traffic lights, especially when they're red.
Oh, exactly. Who doesn't hate red traffic lights?
Now, I'd like to go back quickly to the food, though, because there's a lot of meat there. Yes. What happens if you happen to be a vegetarian?
Well,
are you going to starve?
Well, no, absolutely not. You can have fried chicken. No, I'm joking. I was talking about meat and three, the meat and three places. The southern soul food sides are unbelievable. We went to a place in Savannah called Mrs. Wilkes' Dining Room. It used to be a boarding house. And they have set tables, not buffet, they serve the food hot to the table, and you sit in a group of 10 strangers, you share the place, you sit down, you pass your food to your left, and then you help yourself, and they keep replenishing the food. I counted 25 different side dishes on the table, apart from the main courses, which were chicken, barbecue pork, and a beef stew. 25 different vegetable dishes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Which is unbelievable.
There are options for plenty.
And then they do like about 17 different types of dressings for their salads as well. So I could never keep up when I was over there. And so like, would you like some blue vein or some balsamic or French dressing or Thousand Island? And I'd be thinking,
it is a little bit confusing.
It is a little bit confusing.
I mean, we do love a Cobb chopped salad. I mean, with the blue cheese dressing, I think that's one of the great American additions to cuisine.
And then how do you want your potato? I mean, I've never been so and eggs.
I was asking in Chicago, how did I want my pork?
Did you?
Which I think was a little bit...
A pork in Chicago? Yeah.
Well, you could have just said, feed the man pork. You would have been fine. What were the men like in the South?
Oh, very hunky.
Were they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Strapping young lads.
I just have this vision of Brad Pitt with a cowboy hat on. I don't know why.
But, absolutely. You go looking for the cowboy hats. And,
Brad Pitt. And did you buy any of those great big high-heeled Stetsons to
I went looking for cowboy boots. That was kind of like on my wish list. You know, you go into the South, you need to end up with some boots. But I ended up with a hat and boots.
Okay, good. Yeah. What about a buckle, a great big buckle for you?
No, I did look at that. I mean, it was pretty warm when we were there. And humid. I mean, we don't talk about the humidity much, but it was pretty, 80% humidity, 33, 34 degrees is warm.
Yeah.
So the hat was in order, just to keep the sun off you. But interestingly enough, the heat it's not as vicious as the sun that we have over here. And we found the sun stronger in LA, similar to what we have in Melbourne. Yes. So even though it was hot, it wasn't that oppressive sun. You feel like you're frying. It is hot, though.
So what's the best time to do this road trip, then?
Well, not at the end of August, at the end of summer. That was pretty warm. I'm going to say, spring or autumn would probably be the best way to do it.
September, October?
Yeah, September,
like
October would be beautiful this time of year.
And the scenery is probably beautiful as well.
Autumn in the south, when the leaves start to change, is just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And look, I know New Orleans is so famous for its Mardi Gras every year, where they all get dressed up and celebrate jazz and everything during Mardi Gras. Now Nashville, with the Grand Ole Opry, they have the radio station, which is the longest running radio station for country and blues music. It would have just been hard to know where to go when you got there. You're just sort of seeing all of these amazing musicians live and. I would have been in awe.
Yeah, so we did book the Grand Ole Opry, and I highly recommend that purely as a venue. And we ended up at the Honky Tonk Highway, which is Broadway in Nashville. And the Honky Tonks are little bars that play music, and you can go in free. And one of the places we tried to get to but couldn't because it booked out really fast was the Bluebird Cafe, which a lot of talent is found at the Bluebird Cafe.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
What are your travel tips for the southern part of the US, Lance? We'd love to hear them.
For the southern part of the US, have fun, be polite, go for it. It's amazing. There's so many places to see and do. Go to the small towns, chat to the locals, ask your Uber driver where to go.
Yeah, and it's funny, just touching on that briefly, I mean, if you watch a lot of TV in Australia over the years, you'll think it's just full of rednecks and people that aren't very welcoming, but it's absolutely the opposite. What you just said, it's the most welcoming part of the country, and they're beautiful people.
Absolute southern charm and grace. And if you were going to go on a barbecue road trip specifically, the book Temples of Barbecue, which did win Best Barbecue Cookbook in the world. My mum was pretty happy. And we'll tell you where to go if you were going on a barbecue road trip.
That sounds great. We've got a question.
We've got a very important question. Yes. We ask all our guests on the show. Do you roll or do you fold?
Look, we do a fold and then a scrunch. Bit of both.
Oh.
Yeah,
a fold and a scrunch.
With a twist.
We've never had the concept.
No, a fold with a twist.
God. Why not? That's amazing. Now, I've got another question for you. Once you have black, you don't go back?
Okay. Was that a question or a statement in the fact? I don't know where we were going with that.
I think the southern part of America is absolutely fantastic. It really is. And I think you have described it to a T today with music and food. And it is all about that comfort food.
Absolutely. And, you know, the southern charm and grace throughout, which is just wonderful.
Did you come back with any favourite sayings that we could use on air next week?
Oh. Favourite sayings. Trying to think what comes out of that. No, nothing comes to mind at the moment.
Oh, we've just had another message in from Chapel Hill, Charlotte and... Chapel Hill, Charlotte and Durham in North Carolina are gay-friendly, with gay-friendly churches and synagogues. Atlanta is very gay-friendly and has a large population with large black middle class, lots of good food and people that have moved in from New York, Chicago, LA and Detroit. So quite often pro-Democrat, anti-Trump, thank God we agree. A good iced tea, good food and good people. You'll enjoy yourself. Oh, it's Ray again. Thank you, Ray.
I did come up with a quick saying that I remembered.
Yeah.
We were told to go with travelling grace. Safe travels, so instead of saying safe travels, go with travelling grace.
We love that.
We love that one.
Stefan, who's on the show next week? We're going to make that up.
It's a surprise, I think.
Well, fantastic. Lance, yes. Thank you for coming
thank
on the show.
Thank you for having me on. It was great to be here.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.